Of America tonight, a big week. Gun proposals coming out of Washington, D.C. People lining up to say gun control is going to fail. We have a split right down the middle of this country, but what else is new? So once again, as we embark on the beginning of a new calendar year, we embark with a whole bunch of other issues facing us, and one of them lingers from a horrific event that happened right before Christmas that all of you are aware of in Newtown, Connecticut. Coming up on this hour of America Tonight, we have the weekly re-rack. Great conversation with a former government accountability man named Dave Walker, who talks about the fact that you would not believe we actually have companies that are getting sold. The technology is getting sold to the Chinese, technology that will advance them even further and sink our battleships and our fates and fortunes a little bit more. He explains why. Plus some shocking news on surpluses and where they used to be and where they are now. You'll be very, very surprised. In case you missed it, it was one of our best interviews over the week. That's why we call it the weekly re-rack, and that's coming up in our third segment here on this hour of ATN. But it is about guns, and it is about Newtown, Connecticut. And the reason why is it's twofold. In that town, they're deciding whether or not Sandy Hook Elementary should stand. Like so many other terrible scenes of mass shootings, it's always up for debate whether or not that particular school or whatever institution should stand. Should they tear a building down on a college campus? Should they completely knock a school down? Should you get rid of an entire wing of a high school? What do you do when something shakes you to your core so much you can't stand to see the place? And this is what the people are grappling with in Newtown. We drive by it. We've relived it over and over and over again. And because the world and others in the United States were so stunned by what happened, there was an outpouring of grief, wanting to touch, feel, do something for the people, I think, to soothe the anxiety so many felt after seeing and hearing the horrible, sad tales of kids going to school and then being gunned down, 20 of them, 6 and 5 and 7 years old, terrible, and then 6 adults along with that trying to save their lives and all the other things that unfolded. So as the world tries to make sense of it, it becomes a much broader issue for debate over guns and mental health and other things and hot opinions on why are we going this direction and this is the perfect thing to use and it's the wrong thing to use. But yet in that town, it's simple. Right now for any kids who go to Sandy Hook Elementary, especially the victims, the families, are meeting with the school. And then there's going to be public comment, and there already has been some, as to whether or not the school should be torn down. They should know by March what's going to happen next. So do you tear down the elementary school because it's just too hard and nobody wants to see that, nobody wants to look at it? They just can't deal with it. Kids walking in there don't feel comfortable. So get rid of it. Or do they renovate? Do they just renovate the area where the kids were hit? Do they put up something different there to memorialize them? And then that's a whole separate issue. In going back, and many people now I think have written and done this, I'm certain, if you go to Virginia Tech's campus, they redesigned the area where the kids were killed there. and the one teacher. There was also Columbine High School. When everybody looks to school shootings, they look at Columbine first, and that was two students that went in and killed 12 others and a teacher. What they did there was the area where it happened, the library particularly, was mostly where the bodies were. They got rid of the whole library so that the people wouldn't relive that going there, because you saw it so much and heard about it. That was the way to do that. In the case of Sandy Hook Elementary, we've heard Sandy Hook Elementary seemingly a gazillion times. It feels that way. But I think it's not so much the fact that it's been all over news, national, local, all that kind of stuff, but that kids that go there, how are they feeling? To me, that's what's the most important thing. How are the kids feeling? Is it just too emotional? Is it too hard to make the leap from that was one crazy thing, horrible thing, sickening thing, my parents explained it to me, and we keep going to the school? I think that they should keep going to the school. I think it honors the kids that were there, but they redo the area where was mostly the site of what Adam Lanza did. They just redo that whole area. But keep it up. Keep the elementary school up to let the world know you're not going to beat us and this was one thing. I don't know that the parents will vote that way. What do you think is the right thing to do here? How do you memorialize kids and the six adults and yet still make it a safe place for kids to come and forget what happened there? And I think that's why, like the issue itself of just even guns were split down the middle, I think the parents in that school district are going to be split down the middle on what to do, whether to just bulldoze the whole thing, eat the expense, and build a whole new school, or just fix the one particular area. So I'm going to throw out the digits. You can definitely weigh in on this one, 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Plus, we're going to talk about what happened over the weekend. It was entertainment, whether we're talking about the NFL whittling down to just a handful of teams trying to get to February 3rd and the Super Bowl. So who is going to vie in the AFC, who in the NFC, whether we're talking about that and did anybody nail the score, or do we care about awards shows? It's good for one thing. If you watch the little snippets of it, you get a sense of movies that you probably might want to rent. Some of them are still in the theater, like Zero Dark Thirty and some others, but there also are a lot of those movies will soon be on video, and I think that gives people kind of a clue as to, oh yeah, that looks pretty good. Maybe I want to see that or rent that. So we'll definitely hit the cheap statues, trust me. And the people were freezing in Los Angeles. The movie stars throwing on coats before they threw them off to get on the red carpet. Oh, how sad. It was 30 degrees. Stay with us. Back with more in just a few. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
What's going on with food prices? Have you noticed how your favorite ice cream is now 14 ounces instead of a pint? Round-trip airfares into 9 major cities has increased 44% in just 1 year. Ask your 18 to 25-year-old what it costs to buy some nice, fashionable jeans. $300? And yet not one person in 100 realizes these prices reflect government spending and Federal Reserve Bank dollar printing. Gold in the last 10 years has increased 450%, while the dollar's purchasing power is declining daily. My name is Daniel Larson. I work at Midas Resources. To learn more about how gold and silver can protect your dwindling purchasing power and your IRA accounts, call 1-800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. Daniel Larson, 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Article today about extreme temperatures in the world. We talked to somebody last week about tides and what were the rising tides telling us and what was that going to mean along the shoreline. And I found out some interesting information because of Sandy and the wait on the 15th to have more money dumped into New Jersey, approved by Congress, and have it dumped into New Jersey and New York. The homes that are being rebuilt in the coastal area, people assume that that's all wealthy people, but it's not necessarily all wealthy people. And I mentioned this before, but it's definitely official. If you want to build on the coastline in some of the areas that were slammed by Sandy, you have to do it just like they do in the Florida Keys. So the houses have to be up because of the waters and because of the things that happen. And it's much more expensive to do it that way, meaning if a first floor is wiped out, it doesn't matter. It's lifted up, so it's a whole different kind of home. And if you remember, one of the guests we had on last week, an oceanographer, was talking about that there wasn't attention being paid to the tides. And what could you do to rearrange? What could you do to change some of that? What could be done now? Because he felt there's absolutely no way we could turn our back on it, because it will never, ever be the same along the shoreline in New Jersey or in New York. And much harder to insure and riskier to build if you're putting all your eggs in one basket. You have to have that flood insurance. You know, that's the whole thing with floods and flood insurance, and how much will a flood insurance affect the policy? And the answer is, in some cases, it doubles the policy. So we've seen some interesting heat, flood, that kind of stuff, as the Times article said. Some extreme weather. Australia is the prime example. We've got all kinds of bushfires across Australia, and they've had a massive, massive heat wave there that they're dealing with. That's probably one of the biggest reasons they're seeing all those fires start up. In our country, in the U.S., what we're seeing is some interesting and sad things like Sandy and that the tides, which are responsible there. Or in the case of California, now in California, they've had 20 degrees and 30 degrees and 50 degrees during the day, and it's causing some problems there because they're not used to that. And go and try and find a winter coat and a scarf and a hat and gloves in Cali when mostly the temperatures are in the 80s, and then in the summertime, sometimes they get triple digits. And I mentioned this jokingly, that at the Golden Globes, that's what you saw, the stars looking their best, but they had coats that they chucked off right before they got on camera because it was just too cold. It had already dropped to the 30s and the 20s and, you know, whatnot. Some of the movies that I picked during the year that I liked, because we do our cheap movie review, I said my favorite movie was Silver Linings Playbook. And it's apropos because of the thing we do, Nail the Score, and part of this movie centers around the Philadelphia Eagles. Jennifer Lawrence, who was the love interest in the movie, she wins a Gold Globe for the person that she played, the character she played. She was terrific in it, and so she deserved it. And Les Mis, which would be Les Miserables for me if I had to sit through 4 hours of... I'm sorry, Anne Hathaway, I think she's adorable, but I had to sit through 4 hours of listening to her and Wolverine sing and Russell Crowe, forget about it, then something's wrong in my life if I'm doing that. I know there's some of you that would go and do it. Then Lincoln, is this the one that everyone's talking about? They're talking about how amazing the performance was by Daniel Day-Lewis, and of course he wins a Gold Globe for his portrayal of Abraham Lincoln. But Matt mentioned previously on America Tonight, I have not seen it. He went to see it, but he said you have to go and see it with something in your head already that it's about the 13th Amendment. It's not some biopic about Lincoln all the way through. It's focusing on a political issue. So that's a lot different than thinking in your head, you know, that you're going to go see this whole thing about Lincoln, and sure, they're going to talk about the, you know, abolishing slavery, but that's not going to be the focus of the movie. But really, that was the focus of the movie, and that makes a difference, your mindset when you go and see, because you're not necessarily expecting it. By the way, Anne Hathaway did win a Gold Globe for her performance in Les Mis, so obviously not everybody agrees with me. Some people want to go and see musicals. I'm trying to think of musicals. There's not that many musicals. They had Chicago, and that was a big winner. And they had, remember Olivia Newton-John, I think, was in some, she was in a musical, Xanadu, it was called. But I don't know. To me, that doesn't necessarily play out very well on the big screen. You might disagree with me. Now, only on this show do we go from something so horrible and so tragic, as I was mentioning, the Newtown, Connecticut, and they had to make this decision on whether or not to keep the school as it is, or decide they're going to tear down the school, or renovate. You know, there's really two options. Renovate the spot, probably. Do something different with it, or just completely bulldoze it. We go from that to the frivolity of movies, and who won a few of these statues, and maybe one or two of the movies that are worth seeing. For my money, here's my two for you. Zero Dark Thirty. Well, I'll give you three. Zero Dark Thirty, I would still say, is a movie worth seeing, renting when it comes out, if you don't want to go see it on the big screen. And I would say Argo, was an excellent movie about the Iran hostage crisis. Remember that? And the six who weren't part of the group who got out and were being hidden in the Canadian embassy. It's a great movie. And then Silver Linings Playbook. I believe any guy listening to America Tonight would like it. And probably the same, I would say the same for women too. There's kind of a little bit of something for everybody in there. Bradley Cooper is the main star. He's from Philly. So there's kind of like a Philly twist in it. And Robert De Niro is in it. And it's the character he plays is a very interesting character, let's say. So coming up, we're going to talk about what else? The debt ceiling, in a sense, because why are we constantly in the middle of a crisis when it comes to our finances? And the Government Accountability Office, it's interesting always to see what the GAO has to say. And the guy who was in charge of that part of the government and looking at that is actually going to join us because he's part of the weekly re-rack. And of all the guests that I've had on lately, he doesn't pull any punches. He served supplying, and was a comptroller, so knows what's really, really happening in D.C., where the money's being lost, and where we need to pick up some speed and be paying attention to what's ultimately being picked off and is going to cost us dearly down the road. It's probably one of my favorite interviews of recent times anyway, because too many times we jump on the air and it's all about Washington. It's all about what's not being done. How are we continuing to sink into the same scenario over and over again? It'd be like it's like a bad soap opera. These cutting-edge movies or TV shows we talk about, they have one thing in common. There's so much out there that they have to appeal to a mass amount of people. Our politicians appeal to nobody in the Capitol, and the reason why is because we definitely perceive them as people who don't really do anything. They look like they're doing something, but they really don't do anything, which is why we always have to deal with the debt ceiling and financial crises at the tail end of every year. Stay with us.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more, all more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Looking at the debt ceiling and what's going to happen this time around. It's the same old scenarios ever since I jumped on the air here at America Tonight. Very pleased to welcome to the show former Comptroller General David Walker. And David is now the CEO of Comeback America Initiative. Their objective is, or at least one of them anyway, as I understand it, is their main mission is to promote fiscal responsibility and sustainability by engaging the public and assisting in, you know, with key policymakers on a nonpartisan basis. That is like music to my ears. As soon as I heard what David did, I thought, boy, we have got to get him on the show. And again, he's the CEO of Comeback America Initiative. David, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Pleasure to be with you.
So fiscal cliff, I mean, this was heavy debate, of course, on my show and lots of talk shows across the country. Public opinion ranged kind of all over the map, but most people very disappointed in what they're learning in this last-minute deal. Was this a failure?
Well, I think it was an embarrassment. I mean, the Congress and the President agreed over 500 days ago to try to do certain things that would encourage them to achieve a so-called grand bargain, meaning budget controls, social insurance reforms, defense and other spending reductions that made sense, and comprehensive tax reform. So they saw the expiration of the Bush-Obama tax cuts and the potential sequester as an incentive to get them to do the right thing. But after 400 days, they went over the cliff, and it took them a couple of days to be able to, you know, put it back together. And in effect, it's a B, I think, on tax reforms, absent comprehensive tax reform. I think what they did was pretty much in line with some of the, you know, confidential advice that I gave people on both sides of the aisle, both ends of the hill. But there was an F in spending because there really weren't any spending reductions. And they punted the ball on the three things that they need to really focus on: social insurance reforms, health care costs, and the need for comprehensive tax reform.
Yeah, and why do they feel so miserably on this? Because it's a, they're sticky issues, and it's easier just to put the band, I call it a band-aid, they just put the band-aid on it, move on, and then deal with it later?
Well, my view is that we have too much laggardship in Washington and not enough leadership. A laggardship is basically not looking ahead, seeing the trends, the challenges, the opportunities, mitigating the risk, and avoiding crises. It's waiting till stuff hits the fan and taking steps in a crisis management fashion and doing the minimum that you have to do. You know, we now have a system that is dominated by career politicians, special interests, and the wings of the respective parties. And that's not good for a vital democracy and for our collective future.
Yeah. One of the interesting things about your background, I didn't mention this, you were the head of the U.S. Government Accountability Office for a decade, so I can imagine the things that you saw there coming through and that you were looking at. It's always interesting to go back and see where the money's going, what's happening. Of all those years that you were doing that, did you see things start to improve or did they seem to get worse?
Well, when I came in 1998, we had a surplus, and we had 4 years of unified surpluses, 1 year of a really operating surplus. That was the year 2000. So things were in pretty good shape. But the statutory budget controls that helped bring fiscal discipline from the early 90s expired in 2002, and things spun out of control in 2003. And that was the year that I took the unprecedented step as a Comptroller General of the United States to give a nationwide broadcast speech at the National Press Club to basically say that Washington was out of touch and out of control. And it's gotten worse since then.
Yeah, and you said the date, 2003, and here we are in 2013. So as much as you're trying to rattle the cages, and so are so many other people, obviously there was a tone-deaf people in Washington. And I mentioned a couple of times at the top what you're doing now and working with policymakers. Are you finding that people are aggressively seeking you out, or they're open to it, or what's happening with that?
Well, I'm fortunate. I'm a political independent, have been since 1997. I've got a lot of credentials, having been Comptroller General of the United States, which is Auditor General, a trustee of Social Security and Medicare, and a variety of other responsibilities in the private sector, public sector, not-for-profit sector. So I do have an opportunity to consult informally on a recurring basis, and people do, seriously consider what I have to say, and some people actually seek out my advice. I feel good about what's happened in the last 10 years from the standpoint that the public is way ahead of the politicians. They know we're in trouble. The real problem is the politicians. And we need more leadership from the president. And we need more constructive engagement, you know, among congressional leaders with the president to solve the problem. And I really think 2013 is a critical year. And the next 60 to 90 days are going to really tell us a lot as to whether or not we're really likely to make progress or not this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned it in areas that you work, talking about Social Security and Medicare. There's, as you know, massive confusion as to whether Social Security is even going to be there in the end. There's arguments about that and taking money from Social Security and then funding it back and that kind of stuff. As you look at where it was when you were there, when you were overlooking it sort of from the sidelines and actually having your hands in it and looking at health care, do you think that we still will have this piece of the puzzle in place, you know, three decades from now?
Well, I was a trustee of Social Security and Medicare from 1990 to 1995. And I, along with my other fellow public trustee, Stan Ross, who used to be Social Security Commissioner under the Carter administration, blew the whistle on Social Security and Medicare and basically said that these programs were unsustainable as they were designed and that we were going to need to reform them if we wanted them to be solvent, secure over time. Look, there's no question that Social Security is going to be around and that Medicare is going to be around. The real question is, at what age are you going to be eligible for the benefits? How much of the benefits are going to be? To what extent and how are they going to be indexed? In the case of Medicare, what's the level of benefits? What's the level of premium subsidy? What's the eligibility age? These are the key questions. And ultimately, we're going to have to address them if we want these programs to stay solvent, sustainable, and secure for future generations.
You talk at the top about the fact that the public has awakened to what's going on and they're ahead of the politicians. For people that are listening to America Tonight, and they're, trust me, David, these are people that will pick up a phone or send an email or a fax. What can they do to keep the pressure on?
Well, there's several things. First, they ought to check out our website, keepingamericagreat.org, which is the Comeback America website. A lot of facts, a lot of nonpartisan solutions that ought to be able to gain bipartisan support. They need to start pressuring their elected officials to act. They've been punting the ball way too long. The risk increases with the passage of time. And ultimately we have to make the political price associated with doing nothing, which Washington has become very adept at, greater than the political price of making tough choices that will involve some short-term pain in exchange for much greater long-term gain.
Yeah. So you're not surprised when you hear today, I was calling around right before it was released, and the first quarter deficit was $293 billion, according to the CBO. So you know this. You're a numbers guy. This puts the deficit is on pace to top that $1 trillion for the fifth straight year.
That's right. And you can't spend $1 trillion plus more than you make, charge it to the credit card, self-D on your own debt, which is what the Fed is doing, and expect that we're not going to have a day of reckoning. I mean, both fiscal policy, which is tax policy and spending policy, and monetary policy, which is money supply, are on an imprudent, unsustainable path, and we're going to have to change course. I'm confident the Fed will, in due course, but we really need the President and the Congress to start working together to make the tough choices on spending and tax reform before the Fed's going to be in a position to do that.
Yeah. Do you think, one last one, as the Secretary of the Treasury, Tim Geithner, steps away and people are talking about Lou, do you think he's the right guy for that spot to overlook some of the things that we're talking about? Or is there somebody else you think would be more suited for it and you'd like to see Obama recommend somebody else, nominate someone else?
Jack Lew's a very bright guy, and I know Jack, and he was at OMB when I was nominated by President Clinton to be Comptroller General of the United States. I think the real key is, rather than talking about particular individuals, you want to have somebody who's qualified, who's capable, and who can work on with both sides of the political aisle, because it's going to take that to get things done, as well as who's respected by all major constituencies. That's really important. And I think it's not just the Treasury job that's important. I think the Office of Management and Budget job is particularly important, not just because of budget issues, but government's grown too big, promised too much, waited too long to restructure. It needs a fundamental transformation, and that needs to be led by the Office of Management and Budget on behalf of the President.
Yeah. David Walker, thanks so much for popping on the show. If people want to check out the website, tell us again.
KeepingAmericaGreat.org. And thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you too, David. Thanks. We'll talk to you again.
Take care.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey Water Filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Shopping week can count. This story of this antique cannon, a lot of people are buzzing about this. It was found loaded in New York. As somebody who liked to tour those old forts and battlefields, I thought this was interesting. There were workers that were actually cleaning a cannon that was last fired about 200 years ago, and they found it Friday, and they were stunned. It still was loaded with gunpowder. It had a cannonball. And there it was. So it was preservation workers from Central Park Conservancy. They were removing rust from the antique cannon. It used to fire munitions, of course, aboard the British warship HMS Hussar when they made the explosive discovery. And how fascinating is that? I guess you never know what you're going to come across. They were pulling out a concrete plug is actually what happened from the mouth of the cannon. And of course, what happens, you know, they determine the gunpowder is active, and they got actually about almost 2 pounds of black gunpowder from it, and they took it to a gun range to dispose of it. But they say the cannon was a gift from an anonymous donor to the city back in 1865, and they stored it because of vandalism concerns, and lo and behold, it has a cannonball and it could fire, all that kind of stuff. Pretty wild for the people who were cleaning it. And then it makes huge news, of course. Here's another story that made some pretty big news. But it made big news because of the money that has to be paid out. Remember the show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Regis Philbin used to be the host of it, and then it went on. Meredith Vieira went on to host it. It first started back in 1999. That's, talk about having legs. And Philbin did it until 2002. It was such a big hit for ABC. So I guess the people at Disney decided to keep some of the profits hidden from the creators of the show, which is a London-based group. Once the London people figured out what was going on behind the mouse ears, they decided to sue Disney. That happened back in 2004. Wow, courts work fast, don't they? They claimed they were using creative accounting tactics to hide profits from the show. So in 2010, a jury sided with the British company, ordering Disney to pay $319 million in lost profits. Disney appealed, and a three-judge panel to the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the original verdict. So Disney has to pony up $319 million, big ones in that case. So look how long it took. From the original start of this case, 2004, all the way until 2012. Well, really 2013 by the time they end up getting their check. Sometimes you got to wait for the big payoff. B-52s. There was a, sadly, a flight that went over Elephant Mountain, Maine. It was flying low on a Cold War training mission. A lieutenant named Colonel Dan Bully's B-52 bomber hit some turbulence, and they say it shook the plane so violently they could tell that he couldn't read the gauges. He pulled back on the yoke, pushed the throttle, tried to fly out of the wind, and then there was the bang. So he's moving about 320-some miles an hour, and the nose went down, and of course, with the winter, once you smash down, it's pretty unforgiving. And the B-52, as some of you know who are aircraft kind of people or like planes anyway, know that it's a legendary bird, one of the longest serving in the U.S. military, even flying missions in Afghanistan and Iraq, too. The planes are in service, will probably be in service for years to come, but it wouldn't, you know, this amazing workhorse, it wouldn't have become the workhorse it is without a disastrous flight, they say, 50 years ago next week, and a similar one 6 days later in New Mexico because there was a structural weakness that they found, and that when you're flying in combat aircraft, you're pushing it to the edge to simulate the combat, and what happened was it happened in 63, and it was over an Air Force base in Massachusetts. They were looking at terrain avoidance radar that was supposed to help the pilot fly at treetop level to deliver a nuclear strike, and radar advances by the Soviets forced the aircraft with a huge wingspan to fly low to the ground to evade detection, and it caused unexpected structural fatigue. So once they figured that out, they were able to work with that, and if they hadn't, they wouldn't have been able to do it. And you know, unfortunately, the B-52 that I was talking about shows, and what they have actually have the a plaque that's up there, and they've got this plaque that shows the monument to the B-52 bomber on, as I was talking about, on Elephant Mountain near Greenville. I like those planes. I'm kind of a interested in old planes and war planes, and read a book once on war planes and B-52s. Obama's not worried so much about B-52s. He's probably concerned what's going to happen, or at least he knows that his defense people are concerned about the slashing to their budget. But there is this thing of the second inauguration. It's going to be much smaller than the first one Why do we do two when we're busted broke in the first place? I don't get it. He takes the oath January 21st, and he's got the first ball to go to. 40,000 people are expected to be at that one, and there's a whole bunch of other balls, I think, too. However, the turnout for this inauguration, the first one was 1.8 million on the National Mall 4 years ago. The turnout this time, they think, is going to be about 600,000 to 800,000. And because of our economy and unemployment and some of the things that have happened, I think it's a much different kind of inauguration than the previous one, where it certainly was groundbreaking. You'll have the usual people that would attend those kind of things, but much smaller than the first time around, which it probably is with most people. And the biggest, one of the most interesting balls, and I know somebody that's gone to one of these, is they've got a ball that's going to honor U.S. troops. And they expect that they're probably going to get about 35,000 more people involved in that one. That might end up being one of the biggest. Moving on to something else, I thought this was interesting. We might have even actually already mentioned it on the show, but it was just too good to be true. I had my young nephew bring it up to me once again. The Python Challenge at Big Cypress National Preserve in Florida, they had a mob of people that set out into the Everglades to flush out the pythons. And the reason why is they had 800 people sign up. They called it the Python Challenge. And what the idea is, they're trying to get the pythons off of the public lands, get them out of there. So with all the people going out there, they're going out and they're able to wrestle the pythons out of the area where people normally could be enjoying the wilderness. And they're trying to make it safe. So 28 python permit holders were on the hunt at various locations in the Everglades. The state is offering cash prizes to whoever brings in the longest python, whoever bags the most pythons, by the time the competition ends on February 10th at midnight. So python hunters showed up for some last-minute training in snake handling this past weekend at the University of Florida Fort Lauderdale Research and Education Center in Davie. The training is pretty basic. Drink water, they say, wear sunscreen, don't get bitten by anything, and don't shoot anyone. All right, that's pretty sage advice. Can you imagine bagging the most pythons? They say about 2,050 pythons plus have been harvested in Florida since 2000, and it's growing. The population is out of control.
Crazy. I appreciate your understanding.
Don't think twice. It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself.
Thank you.
So much.
Feeling like there are too many pressures and demands on you? Losing sleep, worrying about tests and schoolwork, eating on the run because your schedule is just too busy? You may be under too much stress, and it may be affecting your mind. Get your mental edge back with Nootropic Mind Power from MindRegard.com. Nootropic Mind Power is not a drug, but a natural supplement. Its 12 powerful ingredients are natural and non-GMO, plus it's gluten-free, wheat-free, and formulated by Americans for Americans by an NSF-certified laboratory. Nootropic Mind Power is available at MindRegard.com, spelled MindRegard.com, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Free your mind with Nootropic Mind Power cognitive supplement from MindRegard.com. MindRegard. Clearly see tomorrow and yesterday. Today.